Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Great Plains of Free Speech, because you come out here and you chase around some buffalo, and next thing you know, you're speaking freely. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, follow the instructions for sending the badly needed fundage. Today is the Tuesday show, but because of technical difficulties on Monday, we've got Mark Collin, not hopping across the pond, but leaping across the pond all the way to the Great Plains. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my friend. It is very good to be here. Yeah, we did have a few technical problems, but it's kind of strange because sometimes you have technical problems and you think, well, actually, that's quite a good thing, because yesterday we weren't really sure what we were going to talk about. We had a little bit of a ramble for sort of 15 to 20 minutes, but today we do seem to have a lot more to talk about, because Tucker Carlson has been let go by Fox News. And to call this massive news for the sort of right or the dissident right or whatever you want to call us is an understatement, really, because Tucker Carlson has done something that no other journalist has managed to do outside of sports and sports news. His show is the most watched news and current affairs show in the whole of America, if not on the planet. And that is something absolutely massive. He's been knocking it out the park when the numbers for CNN, MSNBC have been going through the floor. He has been absolutely hammering it. And it's been success after success after success. And I've got to say, for them to fire him, this seems absolutely insane. You know, to lose your biggest talent, to lose your biggest show, not only to lose your biggest show, but to lose the biggest show, just seems crazy. And I'm looking at this and thinking to myself, how on earth has this happened? I mean, I've heard that he was sacked personally by Rupert Murdoch, and that it has something to do with a Jewish woman who was one of the producers who was working on the show that has claimed that there was anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism was rife behind the scenes on the show. But, woo! I mean, this is not just big news, but I think it's also largely a game changer for the Republicans, because he was really the show that pushed news for the Republicans. He was their boy within the mainstream that consistently, week in, week out, was breaking viewing records. I mean, how the hell has this happened? How will Fox News recover or replace him? And what's he going to do next?
Well, those are questions. They will replace him one way or another. They're going to move one of their existing shows into his time slot and then get a new person to fill in that gap. Tucker Carlson, I mean, I've been very hot and cold on Tucker Carlson, because while he will say things that I call him the tip of the Normicon spear, because he does stay basically within normie conservative parameters. He does push those parameters a bit in terms of talking not explicitly about race usually, but sometimes, well, sometimes explicitly. Now, he won't talk explicitly about blacks' crime, right? But he will talk explicitly about whites being victimized or whites being discriminated against. So he'll stay within parameters. He studiously avoids talking about Jews. He'll talk about Jewish individuals, but not mention their Jews. He never, I've watched almost all of his episodes. I can't say I watch the whole episodes, but I'll watch the monologue and the main stories. I don't think he's ever reported on Israel. I mean, he just doesn't. Whereas Sean Hannity, who comes on after him, does. And when you say he pushes the Republican point of view, he pushes, so it depends how you define Republican, right? So the old-fashioned Republican, the the Republican Party establishment view, that's much more Sean Hannity. That's his turf, and that's most of the rest of Fox News is the establishment Republican. So what made him different and to an extent interesting was he was a little bit more towards the Donald Trump, pushing Donald Trump's positions. I wouldn't say he was a follower of Donald Trump, and there's news that on January 6th he was saying, well, he for the past 4 years Donald Trump had been destroying things, and that he spoke disparagingly of Donald Trump on January 6th. Well, a lot of people were trying to distance themselves from Donald Trump on January 6th, so I only read so much into that. Before I kick it back to you, one of the things that always bothered me about Tucker, the main thing that always bothered me, was his belligerency towards China. And there he wasn't following the pack, he was leading the pack. He was a leading voice of hostility against China. And we've gotten to the point now where the idea of a war, some sort of war with China over Taiwan, isn't just a fantasy. It's a distinct possibility. And he played a leading role in that. And so I'm very ambivalent about him being kicked off. He didn't get kicked off because he's leading the charge for war with China. He got kicked off perhaps due to this Jewish woman's machinations. He got kicked off probably in terms of issues because he's been talking about January 6th being some sort of Fed-inspired hoax, Fed-orchestrated hoax. That probably has something to do with it. It does come in the context. It does come in the context of this massive court settlement between Fox News and Dominion Voting Machines, the company that made voting machines that some people have said were rigged, and that's how that the election got stolen. Tucker never bought into that story, and to the extent he says that the election was unfair, which lately he has been, it hasn't been because of the Dominion voting machines. It's been because of other things. So what's he going to do next? There's all sorts of possibilities out there. He is not going to reach as many older boomers as he did before, because his time slot on Fox News, that's the number one place where boomers are going to find news. But he might start reaching a lot more younger people, because, you know, as we know, people like what's the guy's name? Something Joe Rogan has way more viewers than Tucker Carlson. Whether they're as important, because maybe they're just sitting back there smoking marijuana and aren't going to go vote or do anything, that's another question. But I kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, there's a couple of things to unpack here. And first, I'm going to throw in a bit of a hand grenade. I don't think Dr. David Duke would like this at all, because I've obviously been doing the Dr. David Duke show, actually, for such a long time. It was before you even had a show. And David's always been a big fan of him. Now, I've always been, and I'm not saying David's wrong, but I've always been a little bit more reserved in my praise of Tucker Carlson, especially of late, when he's made these very, very blatant sort of disavowals of white people organizing or white people having in-group preference. I can't remember who he was with, but very recently he came out with this rather large and sort of cringeworthy sort of disavowal of, I wouldn't say white nationalism, but just that over time whites, he more or less said, to paraphrase, but I think I am almost completely correct in the way I'm stating this. He said, you know, we white people are going to become increasingly a minority in this country. As they become a minority in this country, there are going to be more and more groups that say, hey, come listen to us, join us, you know, work with us, because we're going to stand up for white people, we're going to represent white people, we're going to be the voice of white people in America. And he came out and he was very, very clear and said, you know, that isn't going to be me. I'm not going to be doing that. That is absolutely not going to be what he wanted to do, that he wasn't going to be heeding those calls. And if he saw people doing that, he was going to counter-signal them.
Yeah, what he said was, when people start saying that, I'm saying to them, F you. But he didn't F, he said the full word.
Yeah. So he's more or less said that, you know, when this starts to happen, when people start advocating for white people as an ethnic group and saying that white people need to express in-group preference and work as a community, he absolutely said he wouldn't be doing that. And that he, you know, F you to those people. Now, I would say the following about what you said about Joe Rogan. I would say that the people that Tucker was speaking to would probably be seen as slightly more important for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're people who are most likely to have a much greater stake in society in terms of home ownership, power within their community, respect from others, and also they're going to have a lot more money. They're going to have a lot more financial influence. They'll, as I said, they'll own their own homes. They will have power to really change things. If those people all got behind the same social cause, they would have more chance, I believe, of changing, you know, the world than, say, I don't know, your average pot-smoking Rogan fan. Now, that's not to say that, like, all Rogan fans are sort of pot-smoking goons who don't do anything with their life. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. I'm sure there's some very good people who listen to Joe Rogan. But I think Tucker had reached a more influential group of people. So, and look, let's be fair. I think if you were speaking to an audience of 100 captains of industry who were all billionaires and were had, you know, massive amounts of capital, social power, economic power, or if you spoke to 2 million people who were basically, you know, normal folk, some unemployed, some people at different tiers of the, you know, the working totem pole, but none of them sort of millionaires or billionaires, it would be arguable who would end up with the most power from that situation. Would you have more power and influence speaking to 100 billionaires, or would you get more power and influence speaking to 2 million normies? You could argue either way. Now, obviously, if it came to a punch up in a field, the 2 million would absolutely dominate the 100 billionaires. But it rarely ever comes to a punch up in a field. It doesn't end up going like that. What happens is your 100 billionaires have this massively disproportionate influence. And that's why when a prime minister or a president goes out looking for approval, rarely does he or she go to you know, the normies. Rarely does he or she knock on doors in normal neighborhoods. No, they go to captains of industry. They go to financiers. They go to billionaires. They go to media moguls. This is for a reason. And I think, you know, within the normie tier population, the people that Tucker was speaking to probably do have more sway, more power, more financial clout. So I would say that arguably, and being on the mainstream, you know, being having such a prime time slot, I'd say arguably, you know, he did have quite a degree of power. Now, that's not to say he was by any means all powerful. That's not to say that by any means he is somebody who, you know, was a kingmaker nationally. So, you know, he wasn't somebody who could say, right, I'm voting X, and then the world says, we're voting X too, Tucker. You know, I'm not saying he had that degree of power, but I do believe he had significant power. I believe he'll have less power after this. I believe that after this situation, he will find himself, you know, probably quite, how can I say it? Probably quite shut out. I think after this, the mainstream will shut him out. I don't think he'd be taken on by another network. I think he will now be treated as a heretic. And I think he will also now be treated as somebody who is a little bit, you know, as they, not totally as they treat the likes of me and you and David Duke, but similar to how they would treat you and me and David Duke, in the sense that he will be treated, you know, as a heretic, almost as a conspiracy theorist, and there will be lots of things flying around about essentially why he left, and lots of nasty things as well. So I don't think this is going to be a good time for him, and I'm not sure whether he's somebody who could, because you see, the obvious thing is when somebody like Tucker, who is so popular within the mainstream, leaves the mainstream, the obvious thing is that overnight TuckerCarlson.com pops up and you know, there's a subscription service launched. He does his daily show on that. It's more akin to YouTube, you know, or how YouTube used to be, where you can freely leave comments, where you can leave likes, where you can leave upvotes. And then there's usually some form of community aspect to what we're talking about as well. So you sign up, you get email alerts, and all of a sudden overnight, this guy has basically transitioned into a different sphere, and he's got his own version of almost like Ezra Levant's Rebel Media, but it's not Rebel Media, it's Tucker Carlson Media. Well, that's the obvious thing, but wait, I'm just one more thing. I don't mean to be rude, but I know it's your show and everything, but one more thing, just let me, because I think this is the most important part of the point I'm trying to make. I'm not sure that his core audience, these sort of slightly older people, these people who aren't used to that kind of technology and that kind of thing happening, I'm not sure they're all going to follow him. I'm not sure that Tucker's going to say to those people, right, this is TuckerCarlson.com, you know, come and watch my show, like, upvote, and hit me up with a super chat. I'm not sure if it'd work for that audience. So I can't see him. I can see him making a lot of money, because let's face it, if 10% of his audience followed him to TuckerCarlson.com and paid $10 a month, the guy would be phenomenally rich. You know, phenomenally rich. He would be bringing in the kind of money that we could only dream about. Now, obviously, that would be $3.5 million a month. And, you know, if you times that by 12, that's $42 million a year, plus donations, merch, all the other things. Look how much Alex Jones was making. You know, Tucker Carlson would do a lot more business than that, but it would turn him from any form of potential kingmaker in the future for the Republican Party. Because I think when I say he's not a kingmaker in terms of overall national politics, I do believe that he's essentially a kingmaker in terms of the Republican Party. So if somebody was going for the Republican Party nomination, whoever Tucker stood behind would have a very good chance. So I hope that explains all my points, and sorry for taking so long.
No problem. No, you asked, you know, he's not in the mainstream anymore. I was going to ask, does he go full David Icke? Because, you know, he is into UFOs. So, you don't know.
Oh, look, that's a safe route as well. If you're throwing that to me as a question, there's two routes people can go down, Patrick. Two routes. He can either now say, I'm leading my flock. We're going political. We're going political. And by political, I mean he is then going to leverage his power more than he ever, ever has leveraged his power. And he's going to leverage it in order to essentially change the running of politics in America. Whether he does that via influencing the Republican Party internally, or whether he does it by influencing, you know, national politics, I think that is basically where he goes from here.
Mm. And then also, you know, you talked about him starting the possibility he has, the opportunity he has to start a new media company. And
yeah, but there is the other side of it, because I said he could go that way, but he could go the other way, because that's a dangerous route to take. Because once he says, I'm going to actually try and get involved in actual, you know, major politics and influence things, all of a sudden, he's going to have a lot of enemies, and all eyes are going to be on him. Everyone's going to be trying to influence him, bribe him, threaten him even. Does he want that? Or is he going to take his flock and say, right, no one worry about me, everyone leave me be, I'm going my own way, and I'm going a different way. We're going to be talking about UFOs, we're going to be talking about China, we're going to be talking about chemtrails or flat earth. And he goes down this route of sort of softer, more sort of, or less, should I say, less racially or ethnically charged politics, to the point where he's a watered down, safe version of David Icke or Alex Jones, making $42 million a year basic, plus merch sales, plus public appearances, plus...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Politics, to the point where he's a watered-down, safe version of David Icke or Alex Jones, making $42 million a year basic, plus merch sales, plus public appearances, plus, you know, after-dinner speeches, you know, probably bumping him up to $70, $80 million a year. And he just sits on that little media empire, and he's a happy boy until the day he goes. And then when a few others get kicked out of the mainstream, which always happens, you know, more and more people will get purged over time, they join him too. And then you have the Tucker Carlson network, the Tucker Carlson empire, very similar to the Alex Jones empire, for that matter, but a little bit more mainstream and less likely to, you know, ever get into the sort of trouble Alex Jones got into. And boom, there you've got it. Comfy income for the rest of your life. No need whatsoever for drama, for trouble, you know, happy wife, happy life kind of thing. Because let's face it, if he goes down the politics route, that is fraught with problems.
It could be. And I don't know if I want him to go down the politics route, because I don't know if I really like his politics enough, because especially with what he's done with regards to China. But, you know, also, even when he's on the right side of issues, he's often his explanations for things, his justifications for things aren't good. I mean, he absolutely won't talk about Jewish power. Everything is about the Democratic Party, and what are they motivated by? They want permanent power. And of course, the issue is Jewish power, and they don't care about the Democratic Party. They'll use the Democrats when it suits them. They'll use the Republicans when it suits them. It really doesn't matter. So I don't really like his politics that much anyway. And I don't know if I had ever said it on a show that you were on with me, but I have this long-standing challenge to Tucker Carlson to a cage match. You know, it's a joke.
I've never heard that. I know that you would win that, but I will say this. Yeah. I don't trust him either. And yeah. I know that David's always been a big fan of Tucker.
He's a fan, but he'll also call me up in the middle of Tucker's show and start ranting when he doesn't like what Tucker's saying.
Well, I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that. But what I can, that's made me laugh, but I can't speak to that. But what I can say, and this is sort of, you know, this is how I see this. I think Tucker is most likely following this to go on some kind of, you know, he's going to set something up. And when he sets whatever he sets up and whatever way he decides to go, I think that he's going to fundamentally go probably down the latter route. I don't think he's going to go down the political route. And the reason I don't think he's going to go down the political route is I don't think he's got the will to do that. I don't think he's got the will to do that. And I think he's going to go into a comfortable area. And the reason I think he's going to go into a comfortable area, it's not because I actually have a lack of respect for him or anything of the sort. The reason I think he's going to go into this more comfy area is because I believe that Tucker is someone who basically has played his cards very wisely. He jumped on the Trump train when it was the thing to do. And I think he actually got quite a bit out of doing that. I think he's fundamentally jumped off it when he needed to. He's tiptoed around racial politics, which I think he thought was the right thing to do. And again, I think people have liked the fact that he sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm signaling that, you know, I know about this racial stuff. I think he's done that quite a bit. And I think he did that very successfully, you know, extremely successfully. In fact, I think that since doing that, he's realized he can wave things away at any time by saying, you know, my Chinese, it's all my Chinese, it's all these Chinese, it's definitely not anyone else, don't blame anyone else, guys, it's the Chinese. You know, he has done that very effectively as well. And I think that fundamentally, he's done all of these things because he knows, I think he knows deep down what the problems are, but I don't think he wants to talk about the problems. Mm. And I don't think he wants to talk about the problems because I think he knows that talking about the problems is fundamentally something that's going to get him into a position that Donald Trump has got himself into. And Donald Trump is not in an enviable position at the moment. And I think Tucker is now being very careful. I think he'll probably go on to do exactly what I've said. We'll see. I might be proved wrong. And I think this will be something that certain people in the Republican Party will be absolutely breathing a sigh of relief over, that Tucker is no longer there doing what he's doing from, you know, their point of view. I think he will be, you know, people will be happy about this. People within the Republican Party will be very happy. I think he caused them headaches.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Republican establishment, they've were very comfortable doing what they were doing. They had Sean Hannity. They had a whole bunch of people who were going to stay on the reservation. Tucker Carlson, okay. One thing regarding starting a new media project or he's done that before. And there's a website called The Daily Caller. He had started The Daily Caller with some other person. The two of them had started it. And it actually, you know, it's there. It may be more or less in the league with Rebel Media. Maybe not, but it's more or less there. That's what he was doing immediately before getting his Fox News gig. Tucker Carlson, honestly, I don't think he's super smart. He does have some instincts. He did jump on the Trump train at the right time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Getting his Fox News gig. Tucker Carlson, honestly, I don't think he's super smart. He does have some instincts. He did jump on the Trump train at the right time. And he did jump off the Trump train. And he really is off of it. He did have a good interview with Donald Trump about 3 weeks ago or so. It was okay. It was pretty good. And pretty well received. But the thing is, over the past 2 years, he's had Ron DeSantis on his show multiple times, countless times. He's been trying to astroturf this young Indian guy. I don't even think he's 40 years old, named Vivek something. And he's trying to astroturf him into a viable candidate for the presidency. So he's not on the Trump train. And also, I don't think he's really super bright. I don't. When you see him on TV, he's got writers. He's reading a script that I know he has a lot of influence in writing it and partakes in writing it, but it is scripted. And when he's off script, this is something that people have pointed out. When he's off script, like being interviewed on that show where he said F you to white advocates, he doesn't sound very bright. He stumbles. It doesn't sound that bright. Says stupid things. And early in his show, during the first couple of years of his show, he stopped doing it. But he used to invite on people to debate with, and he had some frequently recurring guests that he would bring on because they were kind of dumb, and it was easier for him to debate with these people because they you know, they weren't that bright themselves. They had absurd positions. But if he ever, but if he had somebody on and he was having trouble debating them, he would talk over them and then laugh hysterically, which really seemed stupid and immature. So that's Tucker. One, another thing I want to bring up is, we had 20 something years ago, we had this one politician in the United States. He had been a pro wrestler and then a movie star. His name was Jesse Ventura. You may or may not know Jesse Ventura.
Of course I know Jesse Ventura. He was a pro wrestler and a color commentator in the wrestling world. And then he went on to star in The Running Man and also Predator alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There you go.
Yeah. So, everyone knows Jesse Ventura.
Well, okay, so he had some celebrity status. I only know him because he ran for governor of Minnesota and won. But the thing is, he ran not as a Democrat, not as a Republican, not even as an independent, but from a third party. He ran from Ross Perot's Reform Party. He's the only person I can think of in probably past 50 years, at least, to win a major race as a third party candidate, which was... Hold on one second. So he's the only person who's actually won as a third party candidate. Sorry about that. And what did he do after his tenure as governor? Did he run for a higher office? Did he do anything else? Did he start an important media company? No, he went conspiracy theory. And just weird stuff, and that was the end of him. But here, there's one last thing I want to get into, and that's what does it mean, not for Tucker Carlson what does it mean for Tucker Carlson personally, but what does it mean for in general for media people, because what happened the same day? Okay, the same day, like within an hour or so, CNN fired Don Lemon. Well, nobody cares about Don Lemon, this black newscaster. But the thing is that Don Lemon, CNN was waiting to fire him. Tucker got fired by CNN and thought, oh, this will be a great opportunity. Let's purge ourselves of this black guy who's causing problems for us. But what else happened the same
day? Can I ask what was he doing? Because I thought he was one of their more liked news people. I thought they liked him. I thought he was one of their sort of stars of the show, so to speak.
Well, he had been getting not the greatest ratings. He'd been moved to another time slot, I think a morning time slot. But then he was on with these two women. I don't know if they were both co-hosts or one was a co-host and one was a guest. And Nikki Haley, who was the Trump's UN ambassador, and then is running for president now. She had said regarding, you know, Biden, regarding Donald Trump, that these people are too old. They're past their prime. And Don Lemon said, well, Nikki Haley, she's in her 50s. She's a woman. She's past her prime, so she shouldn't be talking like that. Which was, I thought it was kind of a funny thing to say. The two women took exception to it.
I can imagine they did. I can imagine there was some wailing over that.
Oh, there was wailing over that. So he got fired within an hour of Tucker getting fired.
And you think that was to Barry?
It could have been to Barry. The other thing is that Twitter banned or terminated the accounts of Andrew Anglin and Kevin McDonald yesterday.
Well, no. We've got to talk about this, you see, because this is an interesting thing. Twitter, for all its talk of we're now a free speech platform, they brought me back. They got rid of me. They brought back numerous other people, but then immediately got rid of them. Nick Fuentes, Laura Towler, other people associated with myself. But since doing that, they seem to have been on a bit of a purge. So Andrew Anglin's now gone. Kevin McDonald's been gone. Jared Taylor's not allowed back. David Duke had a David Duke account come back, but I know David, and David said that's not David's actual main account. That was somebody else who was sort of posting as David. So that's not the same as like the proper David Duke coming back. Now, all of this is quite interesting because at the same time as all that's happening, Elon Musk posts demographics is destiny. Yet he's kicking all the people off who talk about demographics. Now, you know, I'm not here to say exactly what that means, or even if it does mean anything, so to speak. But I do find it interesting. I do find it strange that, you know, he was like, well, hey, you know, when it comes down to it, demographics is destiny. Here we go. But then kicks off all these people who say demographics is destiny, like, you know, myself, David Duke and others. And obviously the Andrew Anglin thing is very interesting. Nick Fuentes, again, you know, who's wildly popular with a certain younger demographic. He went, I really am looking at all this now and wondering what is going on. But the weird thing is, Kevin McDonald was somebody who previously hadn't been kicked off Twitter. So Kevin had never had a Twitter ban. He survived almost like an academic during the big Twitter purges, which obviously, you know, we know about the big Twitter purges, but he survived all of those big Twitter purges. But now he is somebody else who has, you know, who has faced this censorship. So what's going on there? And again, it's all at the same time. Now, if you were looking at this, do you think it would be, is some of this all connected? Is some of this all due to, you know, 2024 elections looming?
Well, I mean, this is what may be the bigger issue than Tucker Carlson personally, is whether this is, part of a trend, a new phenomenon of just banning people again. And the Twitter aspect of it is troubling because Elon Musk is supposed to be one of if there are good guys out there, he's supposed to be one of them. And, you know, yet on this very same day, I don't know when these bans took when they occurred. I heard about them after I heard about Tucker Carlson. The order I heard of things was Tucker Carlson, and then shortly thereafter, Don Lemon, and then shortly there, well, then a few hours later, I heard about Andrew Anglin, who had been studiously trying to obey the rules, and Kevin McDonald, and that was the order I heard. And if that's the order they took place in, you know, that's kind of worrying. That seems not very much like a coincidence, but, you know, this is a clampdown on free speech. That's what it sounds like. And, you know, not only is it a clampdown on those individuals, but there is a ripple effect on everybody else who might be, you know, in the mainstream, for instance, who might be thinking about saying certain things. Well, they're not going to say it now because you've got these examples of them being fired and terminated. And, you know, the same with Twitter. Having people like this kicked off of Twitter, that's going to also have that same kind of ripple effect downstream, where other people are going to be much more careful about what they say. They're going to be there's just going to be a lot more things they don't say. I mean, I've never been on Twitter. You had success on Twitter. Is that the case?
Well, I had huge success on Twitter. It was one of those platforms that was almost sort of made for me. I'm quite good at crafting, you know, quite sarcastic and amusing little sort of throwaway comments, you know, that my audience really, really enjoyed. But I think what we've seen here with Twitter is Twitter, despite saying that, you know, it's going to be a platform for free speech, I think what we've actually got is a situation where, unfortunately, the powers that be on Twitter are being instructed that certain people must go. Now, I'm not saying I'm more important than others. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that I do something that others don't. And what I do is advocate for real world change and real world activity. And at one point, I thought that fundamentally, that's what Twitter were clamping down on, that Twitter's big clampdown was on the groups that actually said, hey, we need to do something in the real world. Because you had the likes of Nick Fuentes go, you had the likes of Nordic Resistance go, you had the likes of everybody in the NJP being absolutely just taken out, gone, finished. And it just seemed to me as if there was this big, big push for people who wanted to actually create real world change to be absolutely just got rid of. So you could go on places and you could, and Nick Fuentes is another one, like, you know, don't mean to leave him out by any means. Okay. Nick Fuentes is another guy that if you listen to what he's saying, Nick is saying we need to get involved in real world politics. We need, you know, to have genuine solutions. This can't just be, what we can't do is simply, you know, talk about things online. You know, at one point he was pushing the whole Ye24 thing, which, I mean, in my opinion, that's completely dead now. But I don't think that's coming back either. It's dead, it's gone, it's buried. But, saying everything I've just said, it was still advocacy for real world activity. And I think where we're going now is towards a situation where fundamentally we're going to see that net being widened again. And I think we're starting to see a return to all these bans, a return to all these, a return to stricter rules on Twitter. And it's taking place over, you know, over a gradual period again. And strangely, no one seems to know why that's happening. So no one seems to actually understand. Just like before, when we all got banned, we didn't actually know why we were banned. We were never told. We haven't been told again. And I think that's very indicative of the situation that we're facing. And it just always seems like it's happening again. It's happening again. It's happening again. And obviously with Tucker going as well, I would say something is happening. And if I was going to be, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I would say this was heavily linked with the 2024 elections that are coming up.
Yeah, and that is the main thing. Honestly, I have mixed feelings about Tucker. When I talked to David Duke, David knows Norse mythology, and there was a character in Norse mythology named Loki. You probably know who Loki is, right? Loki.
And I certainly do, but mainly from, but shockingly, mainly from the Marvel films.
Yeah.
And but so he's a mischievous god, isn't he?
He was mischievous, and he actually wasn't a god. He was a Jotun. And he, early on, the gods and the Jotuns, the ice giants, the frost giants, had some sort of truce, and they had an exchange. One of Odin's brothers went over to live with the Jotuns, and Loki, who was a Jotun, came over to live with the Asgard gods, and he became a blood brother with Odin. But he was very mischievous, and he was the god of good and evil. But the thing is, as time went on, and they got closer to that final war, the Ragnarok or whatever it's called, I don't speak Icelandic. He became more and more evil, and in the final battle, he was the bad guy, and it was his brood, his three children, who were defeating or at least killing in mutual combat the most important Asgard gods. And this is what I said to David. I'd say he is Loki. He was not one of us. He suddenly appeared, and he was on the right side of some issues. He was kind of a good guy, but as time's going on, he's going more and more towards hostility with China. He's got hostility towards white nationalists, but in particular, he's got this China thing is becoming absolutely enormous. So I don't actually mind him losing that slot if that's an isolated incident. But the problem is that this may well be part of an overall purge of, dissident voices running into the next election, and not just the next election, but, we've got society just kind of crumbling and falling apart, and we need to have voices of reason as things fall apart. So we only have...
Yeah, and there's also the take that, that I'm hearing from certain people that are that is very much like, oh, well, he was a bit of a sieve gnat, he's a shill, he's not really part of what we do, so good, he's gone. Now, I understand that, I really do, but there is a caveat to this, and you can tell that there's a caveat coming.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
He's not really part of what we do, so good, he's gone. Now, I understand that, I really do, But there is a caveat to this, and you can tell that there's a caveat coming. But, and it is a huge but, fundamentally... It's a Nicki Minaj-sized but. And there is a huge but to this. Fundamentally, we are now in a situation where we're in a proper mess. And I've got to ask myself, if you said to me Tucker was going, but Tucker was being replaced by myself or Dr. David Duke or Patrick Slattery, I'd be like, ha-ha, this is fantastic. You know, sod it. He's gone. Screw him. It's over. Boom. We've got somebody better in the seat. But that's not going to be the case. Is Tucker going to be replaced by somebody who is going to speak more openly about anti-whitism or less openly or at all, in fact? Is Tucker going to be replaced by somebody who fundamentally, you know, doesn't speak now about anti-whitism or anti-white issues? Is Tucker going to be replaced by somebody who is more cucky than he was on a range of different issues? And this is your problem, Patrick. It's all well and good saying, I don't care that Tucker's gone, or that, you know, I think it's, you know, I didn't particularly like him, boo-hoo, so what? And that's a, you know, that is a worthwhile point to make. Yeah, so what? Boo-hoo, he wasn't our boy. But at the same time, is the person we're going to get better or worse? And if you say to me, well, actually, the person we're going to get is going to be fundamentally worse than Tucker Carlson, then Tucker going is a bad thing. If we're going to get somebody better, Tucker going is a good thing. But what do you think we're going to get? I mean, when I say that, let's not be ridiculous. We know it's going to be worse. We know whoever we know he's not being replaced, because Rupert Murdoch didn't pull him into a room and say, look here, mate, you're not advocating for white people strongly enough. That is not what happened. That wasn't the issue. You know, the issue was probably, look, we've had this slapdown from the Dominion voting machine company. You know, we've lost a huge amount of money. We're also angering certain big companies with the takes you make, because you're too pro-Trump, you're too pro-this, you're too pro-the-other. We've got the election coming up. We don't want that controversy. Off you trot. That's most likely how things went, with a little bit of some woman in the background shrieking in a shrill, you know, New York Jewish tone that Tucker's team had been mean to her. And when you take all those things into account, is it a good thing that he's gone? Well, yeah. The answer is, I maybe don't care particularly for him, which I don't, but I'm not sure if it's the best thing that he's out the door.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining me. And how do people hear your own creations?
Well, you need to go to my Odyssey account, because I've got a great video up there at the moment about the fact that LGBT indoctrination in schools is now apparently, according to the British state, a British value. And as a British value, you can't opt out of it. So that's something that's pretty important, and I think your audience would very much enjoy. I've really enjoyed today's show. It's been a really interesting chat about, you know, what is probably the biggest issue in the world right now for the dissident right. So it's been a great day. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.